16.
Yes.
Agenda paper 16 is about the applicability of the amendments to IFRS 7 issued in December 2011 to condense interim financial statements. The submitter asked the committee to clarify the meaning of paragraph 44R of IFRS 7. The issue is whether the offsetting disclosures required by the amendments should be included in condensed interim financial statement, and, if so, whether this disclosure should be presented in all set of interim financial statement or only in interim financial statement issued in the first annual reporting period following the first application of the amendments. We note that paragraph 44R of IFRS 7 refers to the first time application of the amendments. In our view, this means that the offsetting disclosure should be presented in all the condensed interim financial statement issued in the first annual reporting period, following the first application of the amendments. We also note that IAS 34 had not been consequentially amended. In our view, this means that an entity should apply IAS 34 to determine whether it should include this disclosure in its condensed interim financial statements in subsequent years. On the basis of our outreach, we understand that paragraph 44R of IFRS 7 is not clear. Consequently, we think that the Interpretation Committee should recommend that the ISB should amend IFRS 7 through annual improvements. We ask the committee members if they agree with our recommendation and if they have comments on our proposed amendment in Appendix A of the paper. Thank you.
Sandra first.
I guess I don't agree. I think it's clear. And I think it's clear that, as we talked about on Friday, I think it's clear that it's required in all interim periods. I think the English is perfectly clear. But I think that, I mean, I understand the rub with IAS 34. But I also think it's important to remember that, you know, this was about being able to compare gross over here and net in the U.S. And so if you go with what IAS 34 says and you say we're going to take this out, then what you're going to force is always analysis on gross and never being able to see what's net, because it's not just in the first period where analysis net is important or could be relevant, right? We think gross presentation is better, but it's not to say that some information about net isn't useful to understand. So my concern is this is sort of where, like if you were sitting on the other side of the Atlantic and saying, oh, we're going to take it out of interim, we'd be like, so we're only ever going to see net until year end. And that wouldn't be good. This is a situation, in my view, where we use disclosure to make up for presentation. And while I agree that we like the presentation over here rather than what the U.S. decided, it's still, we're now making a decision to take away disclosure that was supposed to help with sort of presentation decisions which weren't optimal across the comparability spectrum. So I'm for leaving disclosure in however we get there.
Ron?
I think there is a need of clarity about what you do in condensed interim financial statements in the year where you adopt a new standard. This has always been a question. Do you have to give the full disclosures because you are adopting a new standard? Or do you only wait for the annual financial statements to have the full set of the disclosures? And what is troublesome is this wording in the amendment of IFRS 7, where there is a reference to the interim reports. Because the practice so far, whenever a new standard was adopted, was not to give the full disclosures in the first interim financial reports, but obviously to give them in the annual financial statements. And so it's not clear at all from the text why it would be different in these circumstances for this amendment from any other cases. And it would then throw doubt about any future standards that would be adopted, whether the first interim reports should include the full disclosures. So I'm asking for clarity in this respect, whether it is only linked to that specific amendment, and so to explain whether it's effectively for all interim reports, because it is a specific amendment where you want to have the information for all the interim reports, or is this something, is this a principle that should be applied any time you adopt a standard? Anyway, this issue about what do you do in the first condensed interim report when you adopt a standard is an issue that needs to be clarified. And I would also mention that for first-time adopters, they have the same issue. For when you are a first-time adopter on the first interim financial report, when you are a first-time adopter, you also need to know what to do.
Okay, let's just work around the room here. Joanna?
Laurence is talking about the bigger issue, if you like, but coming back specifically to this one, I absolutely believe it needs clarity. So there needs to be some amendment somewhere. If you take Sandra's view that she wants it in interim financial statements, and if that was the intention of the ISB, then IS 34 has to be amended. I don't believe that you can possibly have something in IFRS 7 that applies to interim financial statements, because I wouldn't look at IFRS 37 if I'm preparing condensed interim financial statements. I'd only look at 34. So to me, we actually can't make a decision as to, Leo, you have said what you believe the staff view is, but I believe that we actually need to take it back to the ISB and say, what did you actually want to happen? Did you want it just to happen in the first year? And I understand the logic of only happening in the first year. So to me, that made sense. Or actually, did you want it in interim financial statements, full stop? And if it's the latter, then you've got to make a change to 34. If it's the former, we've got to make a clarifying change to IFRS 7. But I think Laurence has got a good point about the bigger picture for interims, but I would always take the view that you wouldn't do anything in your condensed when a new standard comes in, because it applies to the full, not the condensed interim.
Kaz?
I understand the clarification is necessary, but I just want to add that this is an urgent issue. It's just interim is just starting, and then some. I understand the diversity of the view, and some people view like view three, which is not necessary in the condensed of interim reporting, and then suddenly it's required. We cannot say that at this moment. So we just need to clarify urgently. But regarding this issue, I just agree with the staff paper in paragraph 20, because it's absent without the absence of the consequent amendment of IS 34 does not mean the new requirement is automatically not required in interim periods. So judgment is required. But I don't understand why it comes up to view three. I think it's judgment required. So I think I would rather go into the maybe the in view. I think we need to view one might be I can support.
Andrew.
Well, I don't agree with view three. I mean, if that was the staff's intention, that's not actually what the words say. And I'm not quite sure. If I understand the logic, we would be making this amendment effective 2014, but the first period with adopting this standard is 2013. So I don't quite understand the logic of that. I mean, I'm with Joanna, really. I think we haven't amended IS 34. IS 34 is a principles-based standard, and there's enough words in IS 34 to tell you to disclose this stuff if it's important. So I would be in view one.
On the point about the dates, you're asking, what we saw this as requiring was the words at present requiring the disclosures in all interim reports in all years. but that we thought that the intention had been just for the first year. So the amendment would be necessary for the 2014 reporting, not for the 2013 reporting.
That's helpful clarification, but I'd still be very much in view one.
Scott?
I agree with the staff. In fact, that's the way I read this. I thought that the point of this language, number one, I didn't think it could be meant to apply to all interims because it's only in IFRS 7 and it's in the effective date in transition section. So I couldn't read that in a way that said this applies to all interims forever. And I thought the point of the wording was to resolve Laurence's question for this standard. Say, in this standard, we, the board, have decided you need it in the first interim in the year you adopt it. We're not gonna let you wait until year end, sort of acknowledging the broader point that, you know, on the whole, we haven't answered that question, but we are answering it for this new standard. And so I thought that the staff's language made that clearer. I already read it that way, but I think the staff's proposal would make clearer that on an ongoing basis, to think about whether you need these disclosures in the quarters you use or in the half years, you use the general IAS 34 criteria of if something important has changed, put it in. Otherwise, you don't need it.
Philippe, board member preference?
Well, I agree that between view one and view two, we are faced with a lack of clarity in the drafting of the standard because this reference to interim without specifying under IAS 34 full or condensed leaves some room for interpretation. I don't think view three is at all what the board has intended. We never require disclosure in interims only one-off. That would be a unique situation where some disclosures would be one-off disclosures. And I don't see what logic it would follow. What's so unique in that first year that would require to be disclosed in interim that year and not in the subsequent periods, provided it applies under IAS 34, that is material changes, it is significant information. But what would it be more significant in the first year? Maybe, Patricia, you seem to assent to not. I will not see the logic. So I think view three is probably out, in my opinion. Now, between one and two, I would agree it would be preferable if we had a more precise, more accurate drafting of the standard to specify that it is for the full and not for the condensed. But I leave it to you to decide.
Pat?
I agree with what Philippe said, but I have my view was all that the board intended view two, that those disclosures would always be in the condensed financial statements for the reasons that Sandy expressed, that the whole point of those disclosures are to be able to compare U.S. GAAP and IFRS filers. And you don't just do that on an annual basis, you have to do it on a quarterly basis. And if the information were only there on an annual basis, it would be forcing everyone to look at it.
This was, in my view, this disclosure is slightly different because it really is about presentation or a suboptimal presentation that by others that doesn't allow comparison. So I completely appreciate what IAS 34 says, and I agree that putting it in the first year doesn't, and then not putting it afterwards doesn't make sense. So to me, this was a slightly different disclosure because it wasn't meant to sort of supplement presentation. In the analysis of the use of financial statements, it was to replace presentation of others to make that comparison. So I see this sort of differently, but I completely appreciate what IAS 34 says, and if you one got it there so that you had it every quarter, that'd be fine. I'm just concerned that people will take a decision that they don't need to do it, and it sort of defeats the whole thing to not be able to compare them.
Okay. One more board member. That's all we have at the table. So, Fuego.
I think one related general principle. Another one is the specific
to this scenario. As I understand that the general principle is, you know, the any disclosure requirement for annual standard, annual report will not automatically apply to interim. I think it is the general principles. Then, as to whether a particular requirement should be applied to interim, I think board have to specifically decide. It will not be automatically applied to. This is my understanding. Philip, I'm right?
To the point as to whether it should be even presented in condensed financial statements for the sake of comparability, you assume that condensed financial statements can provide comparability with the other framework. I'm not sure, because there are so many things missing in the condensed that the comparability might not be achieved. So to try just to disclose those netting of or not netting of derivatives and hope that it provides comparability, I think is a bit unrealistic, because some other things will not be presented, which are required also for comparability. So,
But clearly, as you said, we didn't intend this to be a one-off.
No.
And therefore, we must have meant it to be there in every interim statement.
I'm talking about the condensed. We should have a lot of information, a lot of things. So if we accept the notion of condensed as providing lesser degree of information than the full IS 34 interims, then why should we say that that specific disclosure would be required for the condensed, whereas a lot of other disclosures are missing, a lot of other information is missing?
If they were full interim financial statements, we wouldn't have had to have said anything, would we? It would have just been a requirement.
Yeah. Well, it's a discussion. I think I don't remember any discussion at the board table on this difference between full and condensed regarding this specific disclosure. I think we just missed the point at the time, to be honest. I don't think we have ever discussed it.
Okay, let's go. We've got some committee members who actually like to get back in. Guido, I think you're next.
I think Joanna said that we need to give this back to the board to clarify what the intention was, and if the intention was to have this disclosure in all interim financials, not just the first one, which I think would be the only thing which makes sense. Not view three doesn't make sense to me at all. Now, you could raise the question why there are so many other differences between US GAAP and IFRS, and you don't require any disclosures for those, but that's a conscious decision that has to be made by the board. I think we are all struggling, especially the preparers, with you have to apply this in 2013. So if the board comes back and says, well, this is what I intended, I change IS 34, the board needs to think about first time of application, which would then be later. We would miss some of the interims where you don't have this information, but you would have that then. If the decision is made, you have to make it for all interims from that point on. Because I can understand that it's not clear. 34 doesn't say it. IFRS 7 seems to say something else. So I would propose that give it back to the board and they make a decision and then decide that the first time of application is from 1st of January 2014 or something. It depends on how fast the decision can be made.
I really, with respect to the board members, I'd like to get the committee members in first and then go to the board members. Charlotte?
I think I agree with a lot of views that have been said, that view three seemed to be the one view that wasn't really supported by the literature, or especially particularly by the IFRS 7 amendment. And it would seem to be an illogical answer to only put something in the interims or interim, whichever period, how many periods you've got. I think the views, the people I know have been preparing, most people have been assuming they're going to put it in for all interims now going forward. Whether they're doing it because they think under 34 it would qualify if you applied the principles in 34, or whether they're doing it because of the IFRS 7 particular amendment, I don't know. Most of the people, it would have been, most of the people I know would have been clearly in 34 anyway, that it was such a significant thing. So I do think it's odd that this, as far as I'm aware, this is sort of the only place where something's overriding the principles in 34 and are not allowing people to assert their own judgment. And I'm not sure whether any of the other sort of IFRS 7 disclosures are covered by 34 have specific requirements.
John?
Well, similar to Peter, I think we have to hand this back to the board. It seems to me that the three views can be supported by slightly different logic. The view A can be supported by the fact it's not in IAS 34 and therefore doesn't apply in condensed statements. View B can be supported by the words themselves, which seem to be pretty clear. And view C can be supported by the fact it's in the transitional provisions in IFRS 7, and therefore you might say it only applies when you first adopt those amendments to IFRS 7. So I think, and all three interpretations are actually out there in practice, so I think it does need to be clarified. And if the board did intend, as it's written, which is the way I would read it, then it seems it ought to be put in IAS 34, not in the transitional provisions to IFRS 7.
Scott?
I was going to say something similar to what John said. I think some have said that view 3 seems illogical. I read view 3 as essentially the board deciding that in that first interim, in the first year you apply it, there is a big change from the last year-end financials because there's new disclosure requirements that didn't apply then. And so, therefore, applying the principles in IAS 34 in the interim period in the first year adoption, you would always conclude there's a big change, and therefore you need to make those disclosures in the first year. But having listened to Wago and Philippe and Pat, it's now obvious that the board members do not think that view 3 is what they meant. And so now I agree with those that have said this needs to go back to the board, and the board needs to tell us or tell somebody what it is they meant, and then we can make changes to make that happen.
I think we have to acknowledge that better drafting would have been a consequential amendment. John, did you no longer want to come in?
I don't want to repeat.
Okay. Philippe, you did want us to talk again.
Yeah, well, I think if there is one thing which is, to me, crystal clear, is that the disclosures begin with the first quarter of the first year of adoption. 1.1.13, the first quarter, as Charlotte said, you have to provide. Because it says within those annual periods, within the first year of adoption, within that year, you have to apply. Why is it located in the transition and effective dates section? I think it's because it is a bit unusual that we require a quarterly disclosure in the first year of adoption. Usually when we talk about the year of adoption effective date, we don't specify what happens to this, to the interims. This is one case where we do specify, and probably justifies the location. Also that the same paragraph says you provide the disclosures retrospectively, which means you have to present for the comparative periods, the comparative quarters. I suppose that's what we mean. We could have been more clear and say you would present comparative information rather than retrospectively, which is a bit unfortunate wording for this kind of situations. But for me, it's sure that it's not Q1 2014. It's 13. Okay. I misunderstood you. So that's one thing that doesn't need interpretation. That it continues afterwards is not specified, but it is so obvious that because it is a presentation and issue, why should it stop?
Okay. Not to be
misunderstood, I understand that if it's a requirement, it has to be applied first fall of 2013. Looking at my watch, that's where we are right now, and we don't think that there is a clear guidance. So the proposal that I made, it's clear that if you have to apply something, it has to be 2013. The question is whether you have to apply, because 34 doesn't say it. So my proposal was just if the board says it's clear and changes 34, the board may want to think about changing the requirement, the time of the first time application for this requirement. That was what I said.
Okay, I'm sensing general support for we have to kick this to the board. That I take John's point that depending on where you start unraveling this thing gets you to any one of the three answers, although view 3 is the one that got the least support around the table. But this is something the board needs to clarify. And also the observation that if you were preparing interim financial statements, you would have 34 open on your desk. You would not have IFRS 7 open on your desk necessarily. And we usually, as a consequence of that, make consequential amendments. And I think the ease of applying the standards would be improved. So we will take that to the board.
Well, to do so, can the staff also discuss with FSB staff? Because the additional disclosure requirements was jointly reached.
Good point. Yeah.
And also recently FSB have some kind of amendment to the original disclosure requirement.
FSB provide this information so every quarter because the interim period is the interim reporting is
different. Leonard, go ahead and speak in.
According to the US GAAP, this information are provided every quarter because the interim period reporting under US GAAP is different from our S34. And so they provide more information under US GAAP. And so it's clear under US GAAP that you have to provide this disclosure every quarter, not only the first year, but always.
Okay. All right, that's what we'll do. Okay. You